all situated, we're all good, right? Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope you're excited about the fact that I believe the weather is actually going to go above freezing today. So I'm actually incredibly stoked about that. So I hope you guys are excited about that as well. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church. And I just want to take a second and thank you all so much for being here with us today. Choosing Life Point Church to be your place of worship. So thank you so much for being here. Today's a great day, one, because we're here and we're together, but also Roger, who is one of our assistant pastors here, his daughter is getting married in Frankfurt. So we have several people from our church family that are supporting him and his daughter and his family at the wedding and celebrating that. So we're excited for them. We're going to be in prayer for them. And it's very challenging to be married so young. I know, because I got married at 21, so it can be very challenging. But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we'll be in prayer for Gabby and Roger and his family. So hopefully you'll join me in being in prayer for that. So, but today, as we continue in our current series, is Go Small. And we concluded 2017 with kicking off this series. And we talked about how sometimes in life, when we look at other people that may seem to have it more together than we do, right? Or they seem to have achieved a lot more in life than we have. We start to look at their life and we think about our own life. And we're like, you know, how can we get to that point? And like, what major life changes do we need to make to get from where we're at to where they're at? And we think about that, and it can be extremely, extremely overwhelming. And we get just discouraged and intimidated sometimes, right? And we think about these big life changes. But what we talked about last week is that it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants, right? So it's not necessarily these huge life changes, these big transformational changes that we need to make. Sometimes it's just being consistent and faithful in making those small tweaks and those corrections. And so last week we talked about how we were going to focus on one small thing this year in 2018. We were going to pray and seek God for one word, right? For one God-given word that would direct our life in our path in 2018. So let me ask, how many of you all spent some time in prayer this past week praying over your one word? Awesome. That's great. Hopefully you have it. If not, keep praying for it, because take that serious. Keep praying for that and for that one word and that one verse, because I really believe that it's that small thing. It can make a huge difference. I know it has in my own personal life, as I shared a little bit last week. But today, as we continue on in this series, Go Small, we're going to talk about not just one word, but today we're going to talk about our thoughts. All right, we're going to talk about our thoughts. And while our thoughts might seem like this small, minute piece of our life, we really need to understand and embrace the truth that our thoughts are incredibly powerful. They're critical to the overall outcome of our life, the way we think. In fact, I heard a pastor once say that our thoughts are important because our thoughts influence our words, right? And then our words influence our actions. Our actions influence our habits, and ultimately our habits lead to our destiny. And it all starts kind of with that foundation of our thoughts. King Solomon said it like this, you know, one of the wisest men to ever live, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Our thoughts are powerful. Such as you think, so you become. You could break it down and say it like this, that your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. You're thinking this over and over and over, and that's the direction that your life will head. Because as you think, so you become. So if you are always just sitting there kind of moping around thinking like, man, life's terrible, life's always rough, it's never going to get better, it probably won't. Because as you think, you become. You know, if you're constantly thinking that, man, I just don't have what it takes, I can't make a difference. Again, then you probably won't make a difference because you're stuck in that thought cycle of that you can't. That's a big pet peeve of mine, is saying I can't do this and I can't do that. My daughter does competitive dance, and there's a few things with tumbling that she just really struggles with, and she'll try it, and she'll be like, I just can't do that. Oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm like, don't say you can't. Just work on it. Just do it. Think positive. Think that you can do it. Because as you think, you become. So instead, if you think, you know what, I can do this, you probably will. If you think, you know, I do have opportunities. I have opportunities. If you think that way, you're going to start finding them. And most importantly, if you think to yourself and you believe that God is with you, that he is for you, that he has your back, then you'll be able to feel his power. You'll experience it, and you'll know that regardless of what comes your way, that since he's got your back and he's with you, who can be against you? And you're able to move forward. And it all starts with the way you think. Our thoughts are truly powerful because our life will move in the direction of our strongest thought. And so in order to help us kind of work through and process kind of where we're at with our thoughts, I want us to establish sort of a baseline for your thoughts. So ironically, I want you to think about what you think about, okay? So think about what you think about. And we're going to do this little thought audit, and we're going to look at three different sets of polar opposites. Okay, we're going to start, and we're going to look at worried thoughts versus peaceful thoughts. We're going to look at negative thoughts versus positive thoughts. And then we're going to look at earthly thoughts versus eternal thoughts. So first, we're going to look at worried thoughts versus peaceful thoughts. So I want you to think about it. Think about a scale from 1 to 10, okay? 1 being extremely worried thoughts, and 10 being extremely peaceful thoughts. And I want you to think about your life over the past couple weeks. Where have your thoughts been? What's that thought process look like for you? Do you find yourself with more worried thoughts? Just kind of stuck in that mentality of worry? Or are your thoughts more peaceful? This past week, were you worried about things like just you're worried about your kids or your job or your finances? You're worried about your physical health or your mental health or the physical or mental health of someone that you love? Were you worried about all those things? Or were you peaceful? Was your mind at peace? Were you able to trust the promises of God and receive those, believing that he's with you, leading to that peace that goes beyond all understanding? Where were your thoughts? Were they peaceful? Doesn't mean life's perfect. Doesn't mean that there's no problems. But when those problems arise, were you able to trust his promises? Remain in a state of peace. Where are you at on that scale? Again, 1, being incredibly worried, or 10, being, man, you are like perfectly at peace. Maybe you're worried about this thought audit right now and where you fall on it. Well, then you're maybe a 0, right? Where do you fall on this? Are your thoughts more worried, or are they more peaceful? Think about that. And I want you to write that down somewhere, type it in your phone or whatever you need to do, but kind of on that scale of 1 to 10, identify where you're at. Be honest with yourself. What about negative thoughts versus positive thoughts? Negative thoughts versus positive thoughts on the same scale. So kind of 1s, 2s, and 3s, you're pretty negative, right? 7, 8, 9, you're doing pretty good, pretty positive, right? Where do you fall on that? Now, some of you all have the gift of negativity, right? You can see... You see the negative in any and every situation that you face. I mean, it just seems to come natural for you. You encounter an issue or you enter into a situation and boom, everything is negative. You see the negative here, you see the negative there, you see the negative there. Or when things come your way in life, you just naturally seek out that negative. Where do you fall in that? Right? And when you're driving home from work or from church or wherever, and you're on the Waterson and you hit that traffic jam right there by 65, right? Are you negative about that? Are you ticked off like, man, of course this would happen to me today? I just want to get home. I've had a terrible day at work. I just want to get home. I want to sit back. I want to relax. I want to just zone out. But no, I'm stuck in traffic, right? Are you negative? When that person at work sends you that email and you like open it up and you read it with like just the worst tone, like they're screaming at you, being just super sarcastic. And in reality, it's just a regular email. But you're reading into it all kinds of negative, right? And you're furious. Are you negative? Are your thoughts naturally going towards the negative, or are they positive? Do you see the positive in all situations? Do you seek that out? Does your mind think that way? So when you get in that traffic jam, are you like, man, I really don't want to be stuck in this traffic jam, but hey, maybe this is God's way of keeping me safe. Maybe if this traffic jam wasn't there, I was going to get into an accident another 2 miles down the road. Are you looking at the positives? Or this gives me the opportunity to sit in traffic and call an old friend. Do you see the positives in it or the negatives? Same thing with that email at work, you know, or whatever it may be, that coworker, they say something to you. Do you seek the positive intentions of others first? Even if it has a little bit of sarcasm, and are you looking at the positive intention of that person? Are you more positive or negative? Where do you fall? Ones, twos, threes? Are you kind of negative? Or are you on the positive side of things? Identify that number. Put that down somewhere. And how about your earthly thoughts versus eternal thoughts, right? You know, worried, you know, negative, positive, those, you know, things. But now we're getting to that spiritual realm, right? Earthly thoughts versus eternal thoughts. But this is critical. This is important. Do your thoughts tend to be, you know, more of things of this world, in this life? Are you worried about things like what kind of car you drive? What end of town that you live in? You know, or what brand of clothes you wear? Are you worried about what everyone else thinks about you? Are you consumed with that? Are you worried about, you know, whether or not they liked my Facebook posts? You know, did they comment on it? Did they double tap my Instagram picture? Did they watch my story? Why didn't they watch my story? I mean, why aren't they interested in my life? And me driving to work? And what song I listen to? Why aren't they worried about that? Are you focused on those things? Or are you more focused on the eternal? On the spiritual? Where are you focused? Are you focused on things that bring glory to God? Or more things that bring glory to yourself? Are you worried about maybe the person in your life that you know doesn't know Christ? And do you sit there and think about it, your thoughts and like, how can I love them today? How can I reach out to them? How can I show them the love of Christ in a real way that will truly impact their life and introduce them to this loving God that I know? Are you worried about whether or not they liked your Instagram? Are your thoughts more earthly? Or are they more eternal? Where do they fall? 1 to 10. Identify it. Because our thoughts, man, they're important. They're critical into the direction that our life will head. Now, I want you to understand that if you didn't identify a 10 on each, all three of them, then this message is for you. Even if you were 8s and 9s, man, that's awesome. But there's still room. And this message is for you because our thoughts are important. They're incredibly important because as you think, so you become. And your life moves in that direction. It will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. So if you're consumed with worry, negative thoughts, right? Earthly thoughts, well, that's where your life's headed. But on the flip side, if you're consumed with peaceful, positive, eternal, spiritual thoughts, then that's the direction your life's going to head as well. And that's going to be the fruit of your life. Our thoughts are important. And the reality of the situation is, I would venture to say, and I feel pretty confident, is that no one in this room put tens on everything. And if you did, I want to talk to you afterwards because I want to know your secret, right? because I'm not tens down that list. I got some ugly spots on the other side of the five. Right? Because we're flawed people. None of us are perfect. We're flawed and in desperate need of a Savior. And in addition to that, we have a culture and a world that is actually pushing us to the opposite side of the scale constantly. Constantly pushing us, constantly saying, hey, you should worry about this. Worry about this, right? Be negative about this. Can you believe they did this? I mean, flip on the news or read, you know, your news app or whatever. You're going to see a lot of negative things pop up right off the bat because everything pushes to the negative. Everything pushes to the earthly. That's what our culture leads us to. So we're fighting not only the fact that we're flawed, but we live in a flawed world that pushes us towards the opposite direction we should be headed with our thoughts. And this isn't anything new. Don't fool yourself. This isn't because of social media. This isn't because of the millennials. You know, they take the brunt of everything. And it's not because of the millennials. This is something that's been going on forever. This has been going on at least since AD 57 when the Apostle Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. And don't go in the direction that this world is pushing you towards when it comes to your thoughts. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's nothing new. We have to wage war against that. We have to battle that. We have to protect our thoughts, and we have to let God transform us into that new person through the way we think, because our thoughts are important, and they're critical into who we become and what direction our life is going to go. So with that being said, how do we change our thoughts, right? How do we put this into practice? If we know we're on that side of the scale that we don't need to be on, how do we shift our thoughts? How do we move those into the right direction? And so what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning is I want to share two directives that we see from Scripture and how we change our thoughts, how we begin that journey and that process to changing our thoughts. And the first thing that I want you to see is that we're in something that we've talked about before, and that we'll talk about again, because I think this is really important, is that we're going to capture destructive thoughts, right? We're going to capture those destructive, those worried, those negative, those worldly, earthly thoughts. We're going to capture them, right? And we're going to learn to do that, and then this is what we're going to do with them, and we see this from Paul. He teaches us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Divine weapons that we have as followers of Christ have the power to demolish strongholds, to demolish the lies that the evil one, that our spiritual enemy, that our adversary is feeding us. See, because if you are in Christ, he cannot have your soul, but he can rob your joy. He can sidetrack you. He can get you off mission. He can make you completely ineffective for the kingdom. And one of the main ways he does that is by whispering those lies into your ear. Your thoughts. We have to wage war against that. Scripture says that the weapons that we have divine power to demolish those strongholds, to demolish those lies. And in verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then we take captive every thought, and then we make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought, every destructive thought, every lie that's straight from the enemy, and we make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient to his word. We make it obedient to the truth that we read in Scripture. See, I don't think there's anything that we're attacked with in our thoughts that Scripture doesn't speak to the opposite. We just have to know it. We have to embrace it. We have to apply it. We have to capture those destructive thoughts and we make it obedient to Christ. So when those thoughts come in, you know what, man, I can't make a difference. I'm no good. I'm just a screw up. God can't use me. Why would he use me? I can't do that. No, we're gonna capture those negative thoughts and we're gonna make it obedient to Christ. So when you're like, man, I'm a failure. No way God can use me. No, we know the truth. And the truth is that God is working all things for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Not that he can't use you or won't use you. No, he's going to use you. He's going to work things out for the good, and he's going to use that. Whatever that was in your life, man, he can use that and make something beautiful out of it. He'll use that to continue to conform you into the image of his son. But we have to be moving in that direction. We have to wage war against those thoughts. Man, I can't overcome this. I've been struggling with this for years, this addiction or this whatever it is. I just keep fighting and I just can't overcome it. No. The truth is that you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Scripture tells us. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. You can through Christ. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. Period. The end. We have to capture those negative thoughts, those wrong thoughts, those destructive thoughts, and we make them obedient to Christ. That's how we begin to change our thoughts. And the second thing that we're going to do in order to change the way we think is to simply fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Fix your thoughts on spiritual things. I think this is important. I think this is something that we forget far too often. We let the busyness of this life and this world distract us from focusing truly on what matters most. So we're going to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. I want us to check out Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote this while he was in prison. So as I read this, think about that Paul actually penned these words while he was in prison. And he says this, starting in verse 8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And then when you jump to the end of verse 9, it says, "Then the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want the God of peace to be with me always. In order to have that, we have to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. Think on those things that are true and honorable, pure, right, holy, trustworthy. Excellent, worthy of praise. Those are the things we got to think about. Not think about the things that are damning and destructive. Negative. No. We're going to think about the things that are true, honorable, worthy of praise. That's how we begin to fix our mind and our thoughts on spiritual things. But then again, maybe you're thinking, well, that's great, sounds good. But really, how do I do that? Right? How do I really make myself do that? How do I change my life to be able to start to do those things and to think about that when I'm constantly inundated with the negative, with the destructive? How do I begin to do that? Well, first, let me say that if you are a Christ follower, I promise you, you can always see God at work if you're looking for it. If you're looking for it. You will see him moving. You will see him at work if you're looking for it. I kind of think about it like recently we bought a new vehicle. And we bought a Mazda CX-5. It's a mid-size SUV. And that's what we were looking for. And we're like, man, these look really sharp. I really like this. It looks good. And I don't hardly ever see them anywhere. Then we buy one. And then I think there's more, you know, Mazda CX-5s on the road than anything else because I'm seeing them everywhere. But it's because I'm thinking about it. I'm looking for it. It makes a difference. See, if you are a follower of Christ, you will see him at work. You will see those things that you should be thinking on, but you have to look for them first. Again, it's the same thing with, I heard a great, great illustration about the difference between a buzzard and a hummingbird. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but you know, what do buzzards look for? Right. They're flying around all the time looking for dead things. I mean, how many of you all have seen, you know, buzzards circling in the air, and you know something below it's gone or about to go? Or like me and Amelia were driving down the Gene Snyder last week, and I really don't even know what it was, but there was something on the side of the road that had a bad day, and there was a bunch of buzzards on it just tearing it apart. She freaked out. I said, hey, look this way. But buzzards fly around looking for dead things. And guess what they find? Dead things. Because there's always dead things to be found. But a hummingbird flies around looking for what? Yes, sweet things. Looking for nectar. So what do they find? Nectar. They find sweet things. They find what it is that they're looking for. And it's the same for you. There's always dead things to be found and sweet things to be found. What are you looking for? It makes all the difference. We have to be looking for those things because we'll see them. We'll find them. Whatever it is you're looking for, whatever it is that you're filling your mind with, you're going to find it. That's how you begin to change and shift your mind. But again, we have to be looking for it. We have to move in the direction of thinking on those spiritual things. So as we do that, man, change some of your life cycles, like your patterns of your life. When you wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, don't grab your phone and go through social media or go to whatever news app you go to or start checking your emails. Man, if you're a tech person, open up your phone and have a Bible app. Read a little bit of scripture or grab your Bible and read it. Spend some time in prayer. Kick your day off with something spiritual that links your heart with God's heart. Right? That's how you should start your day. Start looking for those sweet things, right? Those things that are lovely and admirable and worthy of praise. Start your day by looking at that. Spend time in prayer. Maybe this is TMI. I don't know, but I don't really care. But I start my day off in the shower praying because it's one of the few places that I can actually get some peace and quiet. So I pray in the shower every morning. But find that time for you to kick your day off, to spend time with God, connect with him, sink your heart to his heart. Seek those sweet spiritual things. Right? And then when you're driving to work or school or whatever it is for you, spend some time in prayer there. Be that crazy person that's talking to yourself. It's okay. It's all right. Spend that time in prayer. Again, when I'm dropping my kids off at school in the morning, it's only like a 3-minute drive from my house to their school, but about halfway through, radio goes down, and I start to pray. I pray for their day. I pray for them. I pray for my day and my wife's day, and that God would use us, because I want to start their day off and my day off with sweet things, right? When you're driving to work, listen to the Bible, right? They have tons of apps now. You don't have to buy discs or anything like that. You can just play it. Listen to a spiritual podcast that's challenging and that encourages and builds your faith. Listen to messages, whatever it may be. Listen to whatever form of worship that you connect with the most, whether it be some like straight up Hillsong stuff or some metal or hip hop that has spiritual elements to it that leads you to worship God. Whatever it is, but begin your day that way. Look for those sweet things and you'll find them. And then as God reveals things to you, thank him for that. Or as he navigates and works your life for the good, acknowledge it and thank him for it. Because when you do those things, you're going to start seeing him moving and working in all these different areas of your life. And it's going to change the way you think. It will. when we start to fix our mind and our thoughts on spiritual things. This is how we do it, because our thoughts matter. They're important. Because as you think, so you become. There's a shift that takes place. Right? So we capture those negative thoughts. We make them obedient to Christ. And then we begin to fixate our thoughts on spiritual things. Things that are excellent, praiseworthy. Right? That's how we want to fix our mind. And our life begins to drastically change. Just by making that small change in how we think. Man, I pray that you would receive and really embrace God's words surrounding your thoughts. Again, it can make all the difference. It can lead to a life that is radically and completely transformed by doing that one small thing. Because we know that it's the small things, right, that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And so just like last week when I asked you to seek God in prayer over one word, I want you to do the same thing and join me in that this week in praying for one thought. One thought that we're going to think over and over and over and over again until God begins to renew our minds, until we become transformed and our life is forever changed. One thought can make all the difference. I mean, some of you are just one thought away from a completely transformed life. One thought away from being unleashed like never before. Being free of the doubt, that guilt, that shame. One thought can make the difference. So will you pray and seek God for that one thought? As I stated last week, my one word for 2016 and 2017 was trust. I needed it for 2 years. That was where I was at. So I needed it for two years. But my one thought that went along with that, and if you know me well, you'll understand this. It's, what's the point of stressing out and worrying about things when God is in control and is victorious? Trust your God. And I reminded myself over and over and over again, trust your God. So when those crazy things came up that I'm like, what in the world is going on? How am I going to deal with this or lead through this? Trust your God. No, you can't do this. This is too much. No, trust your God. One thought make all the difference. And I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what your one word is for this year, but you do. God knows. So begin to pray over that one thought. That one thought that could change it all. Maybe your one word is selfless. You've been so self-centered or focused on yourself that you need to be more selfless. So for you, maybe your one thought is less of me, more of you, God. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. And you say it over and over and over again until you're transformed. So it becomes a part of you. I don't know what it may be, but man, find that thought. Seek God for that one God-given thought. And it can be a game changer. We're going to go small in 2018, right? We're gonna take the time to capture those destructive thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And we're going to fix our thoughts on those spiritual things. And in doing so, the God of peace will be with you, will transform you. He'll begin to change you from the inside out. The God of peace. Such a beautiful, beautiful picture. So join me in going small. Focus on your thoughts. Make those small tweaks. Seek God for that one thought and let him transform you into that new person by simply changing the way you think. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your truth and your word, God, that we get to just have such easy direct access to, God, that we can explore it and we can search it out, Lord, to help us connect with you, to hear from you, God. The fact that you speak to us, God, I'm so incredibly thankful for that, Lord. That we have a hope that we can be different, that we can be transformed, that we can embrace your peace. God, because so often in our lives we need peace. And we know through you we have that. God, and we thank you for that. As we continue in prayer this morning, hey, maybe you're here, and all this is, again, it's well and good, and it sounds great, but, man, you've never truly came into a relationship with Christ. You've never truly connected with the Father in a real and intimate way. You've never given your life to him. Again, for whatever reason, you've just kind of kept God at arm's reach. Know a little bit about it. Know a little bit about God, know a little bit about church, and grew up in church, whatever it may be. But you've never really engaged in that true, intimate relationship with him. You've never given him your life. You've never laid it all down, trusting him with everything. I mean, if that's you this morning, man, understand that that God loves you so much. He loves you so much. I don't care what other quote-unquote Christians may have said or done to you, and if they've done some hateful things, I'm so sorry, because that's not God. It's not. He loves you. He wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you, to restore you back to him, to restore that fellowship and connection. So much so that he sent his son to die for you, to die and shed his blood so that you could be made whole again. That's how much he loved you. And scripture says that in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. And it's not some prayer, it's not, you know, anything like that. It's your heart. It's about confessing and believing. A true heart connection to the Father. Confessing that you have flaws, confessing that you're not perfect, and that you're in need of a Savior, and that he is the one and only Savior. The one and only true God that takes away the sin of the world. Brings about hope and restoration for your soul. And he says that if you confess and believe this morning from your heart, that you'll be saved, eternally connected to the Father, and your life will never be the same. You'll be a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. And if you're ready to step over that line of faith this morning, just call out to him however he leads. Just however he leads you, you call out to him, and you give him your life, and you lay it all down before him. And he promises in that moment you'll be made whole again. And his Holy Spirit will indwell you, and you'll be with him forever. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. You are connected to the Father. But man, your thoughts are a mess. They're all over the place. They're worried. They're negative. They're the things of this earth. They're destructive. And you've just kind of given up hope that that's just how it's going to be. And if that's you, that is not the way it has to be. It's not the way it should be. Your thoughts are so important. Because as you think, you become. So begin to transform your thoughts today. And understand why you may have tried over and over and over again to do so. Man, you can only make so much progress. But God, man, he can radically change it all. So you trust him for that. You capture those destructive thoughts. You make it obedient to his truth, not your truth or the world's truth, but his truth. And you start to fix your mind and your thoughts on spiritual things. You seek out those sweet things. If
that's you and you seek God today, He will set you free of that. He'll reveal those things to you. But you got to be looking for them. As we begin to conclude our service today, we're going to shift into our communion.